Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing in the chapter on weeping out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also longing for Him. In other words, weeping, longing, desiring to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to recap, yesterday we did two short ahadith. First one was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Shakir radiyallahu anhu narrated, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he was offering salah. And his chest was emitting a sound like that of a kettle of boiling water because of his weeping. Here we explain that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's level of fear and his high level of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had this constant fikr, constant worry, also this worry of his ummat, that what is the condition of his ummat. So in Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's level was such that even the sound from the chest that emitted, that sound also could be heard, and that sound was the sound of a boiling kettle. When the kettle boils, you can get that sound that is coming out. So this was the sound that would emit from the Mubarak chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second hadith we did, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, that Allah Ta'ala ordered me to recite the surah. What surah? لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا to you. Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did Allah Ta'ala mention me by name? So he replied, yes. And Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu wept. So here, why Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether Allah Ta'ala mentioned me by name? Well, there was the possibility that Allah Ta'ala could have told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite to any sahabi. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam chose him, but he wanted to find out where Allah Ta'ala mentioned him by name. What an honor. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, yes, Allah Ta'ala mentioned you by name, that I must recite the surah to you, then he began to weep out of happiness and excitement that Allah Ta'ala took my name and Allah Ta'ala mentioned my name to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for him to read to me. That shows us that these are the things that should bring excitement. These are the things that should bring happiness. And when Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam get happy, these are the things that should make us happy. Sometimes you find a youngster is following, or even old people too, following a football match, and he's coming now to the semi-final, and coming to the finals, and the team that they're supporting loses, and you see everyone is crying. They're all so sad that their team lost. Is that the thing to cry for? Or is this the thing to cry for? But Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are either happy with me, or they are sad with me. These are the things that make me cry. Not one football match whether my team won or my team lost. So these are the things that we should take real pride in. Anyway, today's hadith. An Anas radiallahu anhu qala Abu Bakr li Umar radiallahu anhuma ba'da wafati Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intaliq bina ila Ummi Ayman radiallahu anhuma anha nazuruha kama kana Rasulullahi samman tahaya ilayha bakat فقال لها ما يبكيك أما تعلمين أن ما عند الله تعالى خير لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت ما أبكي ألا أكون أعلم أن ما عند الله خير لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولكني أبكي أن الوحي قد انقطع من السماء فهيجتهما على البكاء فجعلا يبكيان معها رواه مسلم. حضرت أنس رضي الله عنه narrates that after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Hazrat Umar, let us visit Ummi Ayman radiallahu anha as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit her. Now, who was Hazrat Ummi Ayman radiallahu anha? We did this hadith. This hadith came previously in the chapter on spending time and visiting the righteous, sitting with them, adopting their company, loving them, inviting them, and requesting their du'as and visiting blessed places. So under this chapter, this hadith came and explanation also came. But just quickly to recap, Hazrat Ummi Ayman radiallahu ta'ala anha, her name was Baraka binti Tha'alaba. She was better known by Ummi Ayman. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother had passed away, she now took care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he came of age. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later married her to Hazrat Zayd ibn Harisa radiallahu an. Hazrat Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was born from this union. Hazrat Ummi Ayman radiallahu anha, She was a very, very virtuous woman, pious woman. Now she was a woman that was the foster mother to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today you find people say that's my stepmother, not my real mother. That love is not shown, that respect is not shown. My father's second wife, that is, so we don't show that type of respect. But look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and look at the respect. Ulama explained that her features also were from, because she was a slave. So she was also like, to say, like a black woman, that type of features she had. And when she married Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu, then at that time, his features were different. He was a person that had fair features. And Hazrat Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, he was born and his features fell on his mother. His mother was Umme Ayman Baraka. So his features also were darkish. But yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed so much of respect to him that it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu on one lap, his grandson, and he'll put Hazrat Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu on the other lap. Irrespective of a person's background, irrespective of the lineage, where they're coming, that is not important. The thing that is important is that what connection you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, she was the foster mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to show her extreme respect. So this thing about stepmother and father's second wife, that we don't show respect, this is not part of our deen. Our deen is we show every senior person respect. We give them that recognition, obviously where a person is a correct person, a rightful, righteous person, etc. And we give them that respect. We go out of the way to take care of them. Even if a person's parents are non-Muslims, the ayat of the Quran says that treat them well so long as they وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لِيسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Only when they command you now to disobey Allah, then only you don't listen to them. In other words, even if they're non-Muslim but they're your parents, then also you treat them well. So this action was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So continuing with this hadith, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, let's go visit Hazrat Umm Ayman radiallahu anha, like how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go and visit her. One of the complaints of the old people today is that nobody wants to come and visit us, nobody wants to see us, everyone is in their own world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually take out time, despite his busy schedule, to go and visit her. So anyway, they go to visit Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, go to visit her. And when they go to visit her, she began crying. So they asked her, the two great Sahaba, they asked her, why are you crying? Don't you know that which is with Rasul, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She replied, I'm not crying because I do not know that which is with Allah ta'ala is better for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they tried to pacify. Remember, this is the time after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. The hearts were still very, very soft. They were very affected, moved by the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she was crying. Now they tried to pacify her. Don't you know that which is good, Allah ta'ala is better for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, he's in a much better place. Don't you know that? She says, no, I know that. It's not that I don't know that. But now she gives her explanation why she is crying. So she says, I'm not crying because I do not know that which is with Allah Ta'ala is better for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, I am crying because wahi, revelation, has come to an end. In other words, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, then we were getting wahi, we were getting information. This was, so to speak, like our news, this was our internet, this was our direction, this was our everything. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam getting wahi and he's explaining to us. This was like our WhatsApp and our information. Today, we taking our cue from all these things, where Sahaba took their cue from revelation, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is where the thing that caused her to cry. This was the thing that prompted her to cry. So then the hadith goes on that this prompted them to cry as well, and they began to cry with her. Sahaba were crying, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, and the Mubarak foster mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was also crying. Can you imagine that scene? And what was the crying for? Not one soccer match, one cricket match somebody lost, or not some money that a person lost, but they were crying. Why? Because wahi had stopped. Wahi had come to an end, and now there was no more revelation. These are the things that should really cause us to cry. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make it such that our direction in life is corrected. Those things that should sadden us in reality should sadden us, and those things that should make us happy in reality should make us happy. Not flimsy things as far as the dunya is concerned, but the reality of akhirat is concerned. Yes, when a person goes through some difficulty, some hardship, he loses some wealth, he loses some family member, etc., it's natural to get sad, there's no harm there. But these make-up things that make us thrill us and make us happy, these things really that shouldn't be affecting us, they are the things that are affecting us to such an extent that a person's whole mood is sad. If his team lost, his team didn't win that day, a person's whole mood is sad. Whereas that should have nothing to do with our mood. Our mood should be determined by the fact that are we pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we pleasing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we pleasing our parents when they're asking us to do the right things? Are we doing these sort of things? These are the things that should make us feel nice. And those things that should make us feel sad, are we doing wrong things? Are we doing those things that go against Islam? May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.